The Energy Department wants to make it easier for agencies to understand just how much money they could save from being more energy efficient. The department's Federal Energy Management Program is working on a dashboard to give agencies better understanding of their agency's energy usage through contracts with energy service companies. And Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details on the initiative and how it could translate into one thing that everybody cares about, real money. So let's start with some of the basics. What are energy service companies? What are we talking about here?
So these are contracts that the Energy Department put in place a few years ago to tap really the resources, the technology of the private sector. Now, these are companies such as, you know, Baltimore Gas and Electric, Pepco, Honeywell, Johnson Controls. There's a list of about six that we'll have linked up on federalnewsradio.com, so if you want to take a look at it. And the idea here is to implement different energy savings projects, whether they're renewable, water efficiency, or other kinds of energy efficient projects. The goal is to generate savings or reduce costs for the agency's utility bill. The vendors then are paid based on those savings. Sky Shell is a supervisor in the Federal Energy Management Program, which is part of the Energy Department's Energy Efficiency and Renewable Energy Department.
The projects give you a flavor. In 2008, we did, I believe, around $300 million in terms of investment value in projects. In 08, 09, I think that went up to $450 million. And in the current year, we're estimating it'll be probably $550 million. I think the average project size these days is between $8 to $10 million as an average. We have some smaller projects of a couple million, and we have larger projects that could be 80, 90, even over 100 million, depending on the project. They cover a wide range of technologies. Really, any efficiency technology implementation that you can think of probably has been included in ESPCs over the year. Different renewables, wind projects, you know, solar thermal, PV, geothermal. Those have all been aspects of ESPCs.
Now, in many ways, these are similar to, if you remember, Chris, the share and savings contracts that we've heard a lot about over the past few years, but agencies really haven't had luck in using. But Shell says there's one big difference.
This contract has the savings estimated and projected at the beginning of the contract. And there is a requirement that those savings levels are met. You know, in terms of the process, the agency will evaluate the proposals of the different ESCOs that have submitted proposals to an agency. They will make a selection. That ESCO will then do additional work to come up with an investment grade audit. Final decisions will be made. The contract will be awarded. It will be built, accepted, and then there is ongoing M&V, and that measurement verification process is used to determine if the savings were in fact achieved.
Now, he kept saying ESCOs. These are the energy savings companies.
ESCOs and M&V.
M&V, management and verification.
Yeah, of course.
We got to get all those acronyms in.
Sure.
So now, if the savings are achieved, the company receives a percentage of those savings as their paycheck. Now, these are long-term contracts. These are not something that's going to be a year or two. In fact, Shell says typically companies put in millions of dollars, and it takes on average about 18 years to recoup their investment, which also does include interest. But the end result here is that not only does the company get paid, but the agency saves money on their utility bill. So instead of paying so much per megawatt of electricity, they're going to pay half that much, and that money can go back into mission areas.
And not only paying less, but also less of a carbon footprint, which is also part of the goal here.
Which is a huge part of the goal. In fact, you know, the zero carbon footprint goal at GSA, but every agency is being pushed and really said, okay, what are your goals for greenhouse gas emissions,
right,
and all those energy efficient greening of the government.
So we've heard a lot about dashboards, of course, and dashboards everywhere. How will this dashboard concept help agencies understand the opportunities for reducing energy and saving money, for goodness sakes?
Well, interestingly, this dashboard's been in use by the Energy Department since about 2008, so they got ahead of the curve of this latest craze.
They were doing dashboards before it was cool.
Exactly. Yeah. But the goal here is to expand it so actually other agencies have access to the information. Shell says the dashboard displays a variety of data points they collect on the program.
the agencies that are using our program, I think, will be interested in information and trends so that they can kind of compare their experience with the broader experience of all agencies that are participating. And also, this might be a tool that we use to, in effect, put out report cards on ESCOs, both for agencies to review so that they can see how, you know, the broad range of 16 ESCOs are doing against different parameters. And also we can use it to sit down with ESCOs if we ever see a performance issue.
Shell says the information on the dashboard includes key indicators such as trends in agency use of the program, the pipeline of projects and awards that are on tap or have been awarded, how much time does it take to get from inception to award, what is the cost of borrowing money against this associated program, and really the interesting stuff is the cost of the BTU saved per agency. Again, BTU is the standard by which you measure, one standard, I guess, by which you measure use of electricity. Overall, gives a snapshot of the whole overall program efficiency and effectiveness. And I think that's the type of information agencies can use and go back and say, are we meeting our goals? Are we really being more energy efficient?
So this dashboard, is this available now?
Well, Shell says he hopes the energy will make it public before the end of the calendar year. So we're still a few months away. He says it's been a tool used mainly by the energy, but other agencies and companies obviously would be interested in seeing this data too. The companies, from their standpoint, to compare themselves against their competitors in many ways. During 2010, Shell says his office has been cleaning up data to ensure, one, no procurement sensitive information is in there, but two, the information they're releasing is as accurate as possible. Again, these companies, you know, that are part of this contract that we'll link to on federalnewsradio.com, you know, Baltimore Gas and Electric, Pepco, Chevron, Honeywell, Johnson Controls. There's a huge list. I mean, 6 pages. So yeah. The agencies have a lot, obviously, to choose from, and they're nationwide as well.
So do we already, any agencies actually seeing benefits from these kinds of energy service company contracts?
Several actually are already using the contracts and seeing those benefits. Shell says, as expected, the Energy Department is among the biggest users across government, but in fact, about 18 or 19 of the largest agencies have projects underway. Shell says the Navy Department, other defense agencies are very active. The Justice Department and its bureaus also are big users of the contract as well. And Shell expects the contracts to become even more popular, especially when this dashboard becomes available.
We're in an interesting period where there is a lot of focus on implementation and execution around the Recovery Act funds, which I think has moved to front and center with regard to a lot of agencies' focus right now. So I think once we move beyond that, the focus will return, and I anticipate that we will see continued growth in this contract vehicle.
And remember, agencies are under strict orders from the White House to figure out not only how they'll reduce their greenhouse gas emissions, but how they will become more environmentally friendly all around. Now, OMB put out a draft guidance requirements of greenhouse gas emissions, and agencies had to submit their comments by August 16th. That actually got extended just this week to September 1st. So agencies have a couple more weeks to look at that draft strategy to figure out, okay, what do we think of it? Can we meet those goals that are in that strategy? And then also, you know, a lot of agencies are using Recovery Act money to improve their buildings. And two large agencies, GSA and Commerce, actually are seeing their buildings being renovated totally. So these contracts can play a role in all those efforts around greenhouse gas, around renovations of buildings, and several other projects.
The thing that I'm hearing as a real challenge is measuring carbon footprint in the first place. How do you begin measuring what you're going to get down? If you're going to get to a zero, where are you starting from?
Well, agencies have to have that baseline inventory around greenhouse gas emissions by January 31st. Mm. So they're very busily doing that. And in fact, GSA, if you remember a couple years ago, John Johnson, when he was over at the Federal Acquisition Service, mm-hmm. talked about a carbon footprint tool that GSA is developing. And then you didn't hear about it for a while. Well, doing a little bit of research, I came across the fact is, yes, this tool is ready to go and is being used. Mm. At least being demoed, if you will, across agencies. So I think that's one way, if that tool works, and GSA is obviously happy with it because they're letting other agencies see it, that may be one way to start that process.
Yeah, I've asked GSA for a number of times about the tools they're using, and I haven't heard much back. So I hope they do share that information, because I think a lot of agencies are really struggling with that. And I know there are tools out there.
And absolutely, and I've actually put a request into GSA to say, hey, can we get a demo?
Yeah, we'd love to do that. Maybe we'll take video and put it up there so people can actually see how this works. And just a note, tomorrow on this program, we're going to talk about Turn It Off, Turn IT Off. Friday is the annual Turn It Off Day, and this is a day where many people leave their computers on when they go home at night, and that it's totally wasted energy. It's a complete waste of... And it sort of harkens back to like 1980s when it took so long, I think, to
reboot.
Yeah. And so you just left it on because you didn't want to have to take all that time in the morning or something. But it's
the power down IT day, right?
Yeah. That's so Friday. Power IT or power it down. And we're going to talk to Nigel Ballard of Intel about and if you go and you register, they're actually contributing a bunch of money to a very good cause. So we'll hear about it tomorrow and get a lot more information. I always think one of the challenging thing is a lot of this green stuff feels outside of your control. What can I do? Right. I don't buy fleets of cars. I can't renovate a building. This is something where you can actually make a difference. And if everyone does it, it can make a big difference. So
absolutely. And I think that's part of what they're trying to do, especially, for instance, at agencies like GSA, the Energy Department, the White House Council for Environmental Quality, trying to get people to be more involved and say, yeah, you can do something. You're a little bit of your corner of the world.
It feels small, but it has, if everyone does it, it has a big impact.
There you go.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. You're going to have more online, right?
More online, more tomorrow on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris. And always, federalnewsradio.com.
There you go. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Thank you, Jason.